People are seeing my first slide.
Yep, we see it.
Okay, very good. All right, I will try to be fast. I have 15 slides here and move fairly quick and try to get to public comment. This is just a status update briefing. Gosh, I thought I would be quick. I was able to advance the slides before, and that is not working now, so I'm not sure what happened. Let me come back to where we were. Try one more time here. I apologize. Be on break, it was running, so I'm not sure why the screen changed. Nikki, are you able to pull it up and run it for me?
I can, if needed, yes.
Yeah, please do. It is not showing that the screen is being captured. It was prior, and now it's not.
Okay.
And that's what I'm doing here. I'm going to go ahead and start while we get that going. The slides are mainly just to help me talk about what we're going to talk about, so I don't need to delay as those get pulled up. So just a quick reminder that since March of 2019, the department's been working hard to bring, work pretty hard to bring some options around recreational hunting to the commission. And we did that in March of 2020. That brought those recommendations, and the commission selected option 4 in April. Since that time, we've continued to discuss cougar management. If you could go to the next slide, Nikki, please.
Does that look okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Since that time, we've continued to discuss cougar management both with the Wildlife Committee and the commission. And in May, there was certainly some interest and continued discussion around the future of changes to recreational hunting options. However, then we proposed that we allow the current recommendation of option 4 to have some time under its belt and to learn from that decision. We also discussed that there was some work we could do with ungulate management in the predator-prey arena. And instead, we said we would like to continue to focus on the three-year season setting this year, which is an effort that is now underway based on that May discussion and decision. And that we would also increase our efforts and get more structured in our efforts to think about how we're addressing the cougar safety topic. And that's really what I am here today, just a quick update. On that. Next slide, please. So back in May, we shared this graphic with you, and we committed to coming back with a little bit more detail at this particular meeting. And I'm happy to say I do have some more detail to you. I actually think we've accomplished quite a bit. It's only been about 2.5 months. There's been some pretty high priority work with budget work and furlough days and shortened staff availability, but I'm not using those as excuses because we've actually done some work. And I think it highlights the fact that we're continuing to treat this as a high priority effort for the department, that we were able to continue our efforts even during these kind of challenging last couple of months that we've had. Next slide, please. Nikki, next slide, please.
I'm trying. Okay. There we go.
Thank you. So you can see one of the things that we've done is recognize that this effort really is going to take a coordinated effort. This is not only a wildlife program topic. It's not only an enforcement program topic. And in fact, it's more than that. It's also our public affairs information and outreach work that we do, as well as local politics and policy setting. So we needed to have a fairly robust team if we were really going to get at all of the work that was identified in that first page that we shared with you back in March. So Deputy Director Amy Windrop has taken on sponsorship for this team, and she's kind of directing our work and making sure that we're in line with the director's office expectations. I've been assigned as the lead. We have additional director's office members, including Steve Pizangra, who's currently on special assistant assignment to the director, but he's normally the regional director in Region 1. And we have Samantha Montgomery from our public affairs program assisting. We also have a pretty robust membership on the team that you can see on the right-hand side there, involving my deputy, our chief scientist, Jerry Nelson, Anise Audi, the game division manager, Dan Brinson, who's connected directly to the conflict side of the program, Rich Beausoleil, who is our cougar specialist, and Scott McCorkadale, who's a regional wildlife program manager who's been a strong participant in all of the recent cougar discussions. That's in the wildlife program. And in enforcement, we have both Chief Bear and Paul Golden. So they're looking at it just like we are, with myself and Mick, as having high-level engagement. And they also have communications and outreach work connected to it. So they brought in Becky Bennett. So in the 2+ months that have passed since then, we have had a couple of meetings in June and again in July. And we have our next meeting scheduled for this coming Monday. And I'm going to come back to that here in just a second. But I hope you can see that, that pretty robust team formally pulled together to make good on the commitments and work that we talked about back in May. Next slide, please. Okay, so at our first few meetings, we considered and made adjustments to that team membership that we talked about before. And we brought team members up to speed on the assignment and sort of identified their key roles. Nikki, I'm afraid this isn't the correct slide. Is there one prior to this? Did you double?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. That's fine. Go ahead. Go to the next slide, please. I'm sorry. Could you forward a couple of slides? I just want to see what's missing here. Something's changed. Okay, go back to where you were, and I'll just I'll talk about it. Sorry about the confusion, commissioners. I'm not sure what problem we're having with the presentation today. We looked at in our first meeting, we did look at that team membership, and we kind of fleshed out additional members. So initially it started with a smaller group, and we started to add the expertise that we thought that we would need as we moved forward. And we put the work that we are doing into some very specific buckets. And those are really the buckets that we had described in the previous description in March, where we talked about being responsive to the public and outreach and science informing decisions and the development of partnerships. And at the team meetings, we've sort of assigned different staff their roles and responsibilities associated with all of that work. And we've asked them to not only consider what that topic really means, but what are the tasks that fall within it. And the slide that I think is missing for some reason here is the beginning of a Gantt chart that shows under each one of those sort of buckets, there are a growing list of the tasks, the very specific work that we would look to do underneath each one of those items, and assign the different team members to be responsible for getting that work done. In addition to that, the team has come together and we've asked them to very specifically flesh out the sequencing of those actions and to think about the timeline it'll take to accomplish those actions. So I apologize if the slide's missing. Maybe it's going to show up later, but you'll see the beginning of that Gantt chart that talks about those very specific tasks. And our goal is going to be to sequence them and know what needs to happen first before we can move into some of the other topics that need, just by default, need to occur later. And that's the current team assignment. They're putting more flesh on those bones, so to speak. And our Monday meeting is going to be our first really robust discussion about the timelines for that work. But that does not mean we don't have a grasp of what that work should entail, nor does it mean we don't have a grasp on some of the timelines associated with it and what needs to come first. And so that gets us to the slide that you're seeing in front of you right there, which is the first group is being responsive to the public. And first and foremost, I just need to recognize that this is our objective. This is really what it's all about. We need to conduct wildlife conservation. We need to be conscious of that. And we need to do it in a way that's responsive to the public, particularly in this issue of public safety associated with cougars. So really everything that we talk about later in this presentation really ties back to our ability to be responsive in the right way, making the right decisions, and doing the right work. So we clearly have some items that are directly added to this bucket, and you can see them on the screen. And some of these are ongoing. The first is to continue implementation of our response matrix that the and the director's memo that went out on our response on cougar safety removals and investigations. So we're continuing to do that work. We're going to look at our dangerous wildlife policy and consider revisions to that, and to both uncover and resolve internal issues as far as having people on the same page about what our program is and how we want to move forward, and also take that externally. And we think that that'll occur later this fall, and will take quite a while and into the fall of next year. We also want to improve our internal reporting tools. We're currently working on that, but there's a new system that enforcement is bringing on called Spillman, and we're going to try to connect our the ways that we collect data and share that data between our two programs so that we can be more timely in our awareness of when hotspots are occurring and the actions we can take to follow up to those. One final thing that's clearly in this, and there was legislation passed on this previously, is enforcement has a lead on developing the WAC that'll be associated with the hound pursuit season. Next slide, please. All right, so now we're going to get into outreach. Clearly, outreach is a big component of this entire effort. And fortunately, we've already had some really great work done from a previous plan written in 2010, and the expert work that Samantha has been able to bring to the team. She's already taken a stab at putting together, this is very draft format, but putting together what we think the goals of our outreach effort will be. And you can see here that she's identified the goals of increasing public awareness of how to be safe in cougar country, protection of property so that the cougar complaint rate is steady or decreasing, increase understanding of cougar ecology, behavior, safety awareness and coexistence in cougar country, and that the team needs to work with key partners to bring customized communication that fits the needs with, within each community. Next slide, please. We've also identified some of the tools, delivery mechanisms, or venues that will be useful for us to communicate our messaging. And I want to point out that a lot of this work is actually already being done. It will continue to be done. For example, I'd encourage commissioners, if you haven't already done so, go to YouTube and search on WDFW's Cougar Safety videos, and you're going to see Rich Beausoleil, who's one of the team members, in a series of videos that we published about 7 months ago that are really talking about this very issue. And so we're going to continue that kind of work. And while that's great, I think we're seeing as an effort of this team, what we need is a strategic effort. So our commitment is to ensure that we have a well thought out, intentional, and coordinated strategic or strategy to address the issues that the team is working on as a whole, instead of kind of piecemeal. We're going to get more coordinated about it. Next slide, please. One of those other groupings of the work that we said we would do is around the idea or the issue of allowing science to inform our decisions. And clearly, incorporation of current science into our work is essential. It is also has been going on, of course, but we're making sure that the materials are readily available to the team. And that's one of our core tasks. And then we also know that we need to bring the science into how we inform our education and outreach programs and how we work with the public. If you look at this slide, I think one of the things I'll highlight just in to speed things up is this externally facing science forum. I think that we're very interested in doing this. Some work needs to be done to figure out exactly what it means and what we would use this forum for and how that work would be incorporated into our decision-making process, but we're committed to developing that type of forum. So we hear a lot of those comments. We heard them earlier today, and we're very interested in doing something more formal around this that particular topic. Next slide, please. And the final bucket is this one about partnerships. And, you know, one thing that we are confident in is that we're not going to get anywhere good if we do it all on our own. We certainly need the input from our public and our partners as we move forward. And with that in mind, we have every intention, and this is something that will happen sooner than later, is reforming the external Cougar Safety Team. I want to point out I use the word reforming because we have had one in the past, and it was that group that came together and identified some work that we have moved forward, and very specifically the Hound Pursuit season was work that came out of the initial group that was then picked up by the enforcement program and run through that legislative process last year and now is moving into the WAC process.
May I interrupt you for a moment? Commissioner, there may be two commissioners. I only see Commissioner Anderson's hand up. He has a question for you.
Okay.
Yes, just getting back to the science-informing decisions. When we had the brief, I think, in mid-May, there was a discussion about more specific population estimates being part of this effort. And I assume that that's probably going on, but I'm trying to understand the linkage might be being made. You talked about the buckets and the responsibilities and sequencing and all of this. With regard to that going forward, as we are looking at the game management plan stuff. So I was trying to get a better feel for what's happening in the estimates.
Yeah, thank you for the question. That's a difficult one to answer in the sense that science never really moves all that fast, right? And so what we're going to have to do with the science team and with the group is to figure out, you know, what we could do that would look different. But there is no simple, easy answer. We do have and expect to get information coming out of the predator-prey study that is ongoing, and we believe we'll have some of that data available at least for informative purposes to the department's discussions coming into the game management planning process. And we hope to be able to have more formal peer-reviewed output from that study within the beginning in, say, 2021 and into 2022. So that's one very specific thing we are doing is we will finalize the predator-prey study and learn from that. The idea of better population estimates is one that's a topic of discussion across cougar habitat everywhere. And there's certainly some opportunity to pursue things like, scat and genetic information and camera trap work, things that we can do to learn more about cougar densities. But we actually have a fairly comprehensive body of work around cougar densities within the state. And at this very moment, we have a document that was written by Rich Beausoleil once again and many members of the team that is an effort to summarize those efforts to get at what we know about cougar density and population information. And that's been submitted for publication. So it'll go through that peer review process as well. And so that's one thing in addition to the predator prey study that we're doing is trying to pull together our science and our understanding of how we get to those population level targets.
Eric, Commissioner McIsaac has a question also.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is also on the science slide. Nikki, maybe if you could scoot that forward. And I would say, Eric Gardner, when you have got that black and white going, and when you lean forward, your white collar makes you look like a priest. And so my question for Father Gardner on the previous slide on science. So, external facing science form, and this maybe touch on a little bit of what you just said. So in the world of evolving science, we have this hound hunting thing that you mentioned before. And one of the ideas was, well, if there's exercising of hounds and they go up a watershed, it's only supposed to have two cougars and they tree six. Can we put that into the density updates somehow? And there was also mention of co-managers. I think the Colvilles and the Macaws had both expressed some interest in the cougar thing. So can you speak to sharing science with the co-managers or in this hound business, if that's waiting for a study to be done is a long-term thing where some of this other stuff might be shorter term?
Sure. So great question. Thank you. I believe we try within our existing science to address the very issue you're talking about. And there's a difference between, the stable population on the landscape versus the transients that are moving through. And so we do have within our modeling and our population estimates that kind of recognition that when we talk about the cougar population, there is this other component about transients, right? And so I think what I'm hearing from you is, how do we put that into the forefront of our discussion and the information that we share so that we can maybe be more transparent about what people might be seeing in their very own backyard compared to a density study that talks about the number of cats that are expected to exist within that territory, be either the adult males or the females? Is that what you're asking about for the first question?
Well, yeah, I guess it's incorporating some new information as it comes out from that hound thing, whether it's transients or permanents or whatever. If right. we see something that's different than what the books have shown by these formal studies, right. we are open to considering some new information like that. Is that true?
Yes, we would certainly be. We're always open to new information, correct? And you know, I would certainly hope. I do want to make sure that we're not having too high of expectations. So the hound pursuit is about training dogs so that they are capable of finding cats and treeing cats or bluffing them out. And if there's a need to deal with public safety, it's not really a science project there. The tribal component, we do have some science that the tribes have science that's ongoing, that's informative. And very specifically, there's one study where they're using hounds to try to see if they can change the behavior of cats by having them run by hounds as they encounter them, and then looking at those behaviors down the road. So just that's that piece, and it's not necessarily targeted at better understanding the population as much as it is at looking at what happens to cats if they do have that hound presence on the landscape. But certainly what we can glean from those, we would not shy away from. I just don't think they're going to be those two particular issues aren't designed to maybe change our population understanding. Did I get at both of your questions? I think you may have had a second.
Thank you. Just so the doors open, even if it's qualitative or grossly different than what our assumptions are, just so that door's open.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Nikki, please advance. Next slide. And so, I really don't understand why the slides have disappeared that I wanted to show you at the beginning, but the whole focus was just kind of a recognition that we had these, this term I'm using of different buckets, but underneath those buckets, there's these different tasks. And right now the team's primary assignment is to flesh out those tasks, make sure we've identified the most important ones, and to think about their timing and sequencing. How long will it take? When does it need to happen in the process? And who needs to be a part of it? So that is our most important work in front of us at the moment, in addition to the day-to-day work that's already going on. But as you may have noticed in some of the previous slides, we had in parentheses some potential dates. And so this this slide is just a way to kind of capture some of what we think we know now, and we'll know more after Monday's meeting, but I just didn't want to give the impression that we didn't have an idea about what needs to come first and what and that sequencing. So this is a summary of the previous information. And so in the next 6 months, ongoing to the next 6 months, just a reminder, we're going to continue to implement the response matrix. We're going to continue our education and outreach. We're going to continue our review of existing science and programs. Something I haven't talked about is I took human wildlife and conflict to the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies meeting a couple of weeks ago, and there was enough interest in this topic in general that we're going to be pulling together a survey, and it's going to look at how do states define it, who within the agency does the work, how is it funded, et cetera, since it's such a huge topic across the West, everywhere in the U.S., but we're going to work to revise the dangerous wildlife policy. I do believe we'll be convening that external team that I talked about and begin our formal engagement with local partnerships such as local sheriff's offices, et cetera, to continue our dialogue there. And of course, the enforcement program should be initiating the hound pursuit WAC development process. So that's the most immediate things in front of us. And then just a reminder, 12 months out or so, we will be kicking off the game management plan discussion, again, looking at that science. I'm hoping by then we have some improved reporting tools in place. We'll have some of that information on the predator prey study. And we'll begin visiting WAC 220-440-030, which is the public safety removal WAC. And I think I may have talked too quickly and didn't cover that one in the previous slide. I just wanted to point out that the team, the external team that did bring us the work around the hound pursuit season, they actually had two other ideas. One of them did not get a lot of continued support, and that was this idea of revising WAC 220-440-030 for public safety removal. But the department feels like there needs to be more conversation around that. We feel like there is potential to revise that WAC and have it become more useful for us to deal with public safety issues in a more timely manner that is responsive. So we do want to have more dialogue around that WAC. And the other topic that they covered that has not really gone anywhere is the concept of regulation of wildlife feeding that becomes an attractant to apex predators. And we feel like that one has a lot of potential synergy because we've heard from the communities themselves that they're very concerned about their safety and the presence of cougars within their human habitats there. And this feeding issue is a key component of that. So we think that there could be work with the external team on that issue and daylighting it once again. And then 18 months out, just recognition that the predator prey study and science does take a while, peer-reviewed publication, outputs of those and any new science we might do between now and then is going to take some time, and that'll be 18 months or more out before we actually get to see the concrete nature of that type of work. Next slide, please. And I think it's just my question slide. Oh, I'm sorry. Just a reminder that everything I just talked about was to kind of fill in the details around what we presented in May. Next slide, please. And there we go. So apologize that something went wrong with our presentation, but I think I covered the material, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Commissioner Baker has the question.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you're good now.
My quick comment and a question. I want to appreciate that the science column on this little graphic that the staff have prepared is so so obvious. I think people might remember that when we were deciding to hunt more cougars, I had lots of questions and concerns about the science. What happened with that is that I ended up spending 2 or 3 hours on the phone with some staff and scientists, which was a different thing for me. I hadn't done that before. It made me realize that with everything we do, I mean, realize for real that there is a bunch of staff that work in our agency that are sort of world-class scientists. And we don't get to hear from them very much, probably because they're busy doing what they do, but as a result of all that, or maybe even it was organic, this is a very important column to me, and especially the middle box, create science communication forum to share findings. So thank you, Eric, for Eric and Anise and Amy and all the people that helped me get a bit more comfortable with the science on cougars. I hope that continues. My question is on the dangerous wildlife policy that is going to be updated. I understand that's an agency policy, not a commission policy, but I'm very interested in it. So I guess my question is whether we could hear about what it currently is and what changes are going to be made to it, either the whole commission or maybe the Wildlife Committee. I'd just like to know a bit more about that policy.
Be happy to do that. I do think that it would be better if we planned for that and brought you correct information in one of those other settings that you mentioned, so we can put that on as a Wildlife Committee topic if the Chair Thorburn agrees with that.
Yeah, no problem.
Sure, Mike.
Kim, you're muted.
I just said certainly.
We will do that.
Larry, you're muted now too.
Yeah, I don't. Eric, are you wrapped up, or are you you're taking questions? Are there any other questions from commissioners? We pulled that screen down. There we go. I don't see any hands up, Eric. I think you did well.
Well, thank you. I do apologize for the technical glitch. I think it was on my end. But thank you for your time. And I think there is public testimony.
Yes, Nikki, you want to go ahead and do the intro and tell me how many people we have? Yep.
Let's see. We'll now take public comment from attendees. Everyone is currently muted, so if you have questions, please raise your hand. If you're on the computer, the raise hand button appears under your name. If you're on the phone, please press *9 and wait to hear you have been unmuted. Currently, we have 4 people.
Okay, we can go at 3 minutes for this amount. So let's do that.
Okay.
First person.
Go ahead, Deb or Chase. Make sure to unmute yourself.
I think I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yep, good to go.
All right, great. Good morning, everybody. I think by now you know who I am, Deborah Chase, CEO of the Mountain Lion Foundation. I'm here to express my concern with this public safety plan as it's presented. In multiple areas, it doesn't appear to coincide with the 25-year strategic plan. It's not all inclusive of the diverse human population of Washington. And with state budget cuts in multiple areas, including the cuts within the WDFW system, it isn't clear how this plan can even be accomplished given limited staff and limited resources. It's also not clear on exactly what science will be used besides the Kalispell research, which is still incomplete. There are so many studies on cougar management and public safety that citing one incomplete and unrelated study does not make sense. In addition, this plan alludes to returning to hound hunting, which was outlawed in 1996, and I find that very concerning. This plan has the potential of becoming a community public safety plan, one that examines more closely the responsibility of people living on the urban edge and in rural parts of the state instead of how to better manage the wildlife. Wildlife, after all, is just trying to find their way in a human-dominated landscape. It's well known the current cougar management practices are not only outdated, but have been debunked by science on multiple levels and multiple studies. And I'm happy to provide copies of these studies for you and the department staff. This plan mentions reviewing other state cougar management and predator safety plans. So I encourage you to look more closely at what California, a bigger state with more people and more cougars, that has very few human-cougar conflicts. This state recently required citizens to become more responsible in protecting their livestock and pets before a cougar is killed. Idaho is developing a program that will provide their communities with knowledge and resources needed to prevent conflicts with wildlife. Their goal is to empower communities to keep wildlife wild, ultimately keeping people, domestic animals, and livestock safer. They are emphasizing the importance of human action in preventing issues with wildlife from occurring. And they're going to be navigating away from terminology that places blame on the animal, like problem bear or problem cougar. They believe that ultimately it is the person's responsibility to take steps to avoid attracting wildlife to their property. The plan option for reinvigorating partnerships with NGOs is encouraging if it's implemented. For 30 years, the foundation has been successful in assisting communities, agencies, and landowners in predator safety programs, a key resource in these discussions. Some of our work is evidenced in the brochure on your own website titled Discover Washington's Cougars. And most recently, we helped the department purchase a safety catch net. We have the resources to help you achieve your stated goals of building a community public safety plan, including the development of a cougar conflict brochure and other materials. Foundation staff is currently involved with Washington citizens, informing them of proven ways to coexist with cougars. I encourage the commission and the department to view and participate in our Living with Lions lecture series, as many Washington residents are doing right now. These lectures feature scientists such as Dr. Mark Elbrock, Colby Anton, and author Will Stoltzenberg. I'll make sure you get access to these lectures. Again, thank you for listening. The Mountain Lion Foundation and its staff are here to become partners and work with you to build a community-based cougar public safety program.
Muted, Larry.
Any questions for Deborah? Hearing none, thank you for your comments, Deborah. Next, Nikki.
Next, we got Morgan Gamble, followed by Forrest Catt. Go ahead, Morgan.
Well, thank you, guys. I did not look at the agenda and see that cougars were going to be involved, so I took a moment there throughout this and wrote up a little deal so that it'll sound a little better. I am the creator of the Washington State Cougar Sightings Group on Facebook. We have well over 11,000 members now, and it is growing by hundreds every day when we get a chance to actually sit down and vet people into the group. I started the group to educate all people residing in or traveling through Washington State as to the interactions and potential populations of the mountain lions in Washington. We run a very tight group that is primarily focused on collecting data that people can make their own decisions on. I've been called a murderer by the anti-hunters and a liberal tree hugger by the hunters, and that tells me that I'm actually running that group correctly and non-biased. Our mission statement is, as the controversy of mountain lions grows, the idea of this group is to help get an estimate to the realistic population of mountain lions in Washington State. This group is about increasing awareness and publicly sharing information as to the location and frequency of activity within Washington. This information gathered will be passed on monthly to the Department of Fish and Wildlife to help them get and maintain a more accurate count and provide a source of information to the general public. Once the monthly data is collected, it will be passed on to WDFW. It will be posted here in the announcements as well for all to see on our group there on Facebook. We have found that with the WDFW reporting tools, they have not been getting updated even when the information is passed to them. We can confirm that on local levels where law enforcement was called out on, you know, a cougar interaction, and it never popped back up on the reporting tool. And with the recent COVID issues, obviously restricts everyone. We have not been able to get an update to the spreadsheet ourselves. We can only imagine the issues you guys are having, and we'd like to thank you for your time and accepting some of the information that we have sent. In conclusion, I would encourage the commission to look further into obtaining accurate population data with taking a more detailed look into what or how to obtain a more accurate population estimate and to properly manage predator versus ungulate populations for the future enjoyment of all Washingtonians and visitors. And I would really like to offer my assistance. Obviously, you guys are well aware of how to contact me now from our previous conversation. Anything that I can offer from that group or, you know, my experiences, I would be more than willing to share. So thank you.
Any questions of Morgan? Morgan, again, thank you for your comments. Have a good day.
You too.
Nikki, next.
Okay, next we've got Forrest Catt, followed by Bob McCoy. Forrest, if you could state your name for the record, I'd appreciate it.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Good morning. Okay, for some reason, my phone momentarily jumped to mute. I don't know why it did that. I didn't touch anything. Yes, good morning, commissioners. My name really is Forrest Catt. That's not a joke. And I don't find wildlife management to be a joke either. This is a very serious matter. By way of introduction, I am a 40-year resident of the rural forested community of Sudden Valley in Whatcom County. And we have always had a regular cougar sightings here in our community, and we have never had a human safety conflict. We are coexisting peacefully with the cougars, and any hunting pressure can disrupt that balance. The cougars in our community are moderating and benefiting our deer population. I've been fortunate enough personally to see cougars twice in the Mount Baker area while hiking, and I highly value the presence of cougars and their benefit to the ecosystems. It appears that the state is overlooking the best current science about sustainable management practices and what is really providing safety to the public. And it also appears that there's a resumption of hound hunting is being proposed. And the voters of this state said a loud and clear no more to that practice in 1996. This proposal may make some folks feel safer, but this type of management creates more human-cougar conflict and puts people more at risk. And that's based on 20 years of studies. It seems that the commission is and the department is continuing to cater to hunters and ranchers and their perceived idea of conflict with mountain lions. I respect those folks, but that's 4% of the state's population. Are you really listening to the 96% on cougar management? Are you really being responsive to the public? And I just lastly like to say that I'm not seeing any department education outreach at our popular local trailheads where we have a big cougar population. Why not? Thank you very much for this opportunity to comment.
We have a question. Commissioner Thorburn.
It's more of a comment, and thank you for your testimony. Thank everybody for the testimony. The point about outreach at trailheads, I think, is a good one. We can put that in the bucket of this group that's taking a look at these areas, because they are looking at a more strategic approach to outreach. Several times I've heard testifiers say that we're looking at resuming hound hunting. I don't recall any discussion of that. There was a law that was adopted by the legislature two sessions ago that provided opportunity for hound training. When the initiative passed, the department has been able to use hounds in problem cat situations. That's kind of what the Kalispell research is about. The problem became that Washington hunters couldn't keep their hounds trained, and so this so we didn't have people to turn to, and so this law was passed in order to allow training opportunities, and I think that's what is being referred to in the presentation. I'm not aware of any discussion about resuming hound hunting in Washington at this time.
Any other questions for Forrest? Forrest, thank you for your comments. Nikki, next.
Next, we've got Bob McCoy, followed by Marie Newmiller. Go ahead, Bob.
Did my unmute take?
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, great. The pop-up disappeared pretty quickly. Hi, Bob McCoy, Sammamish, Washington. First item, I agree with, of course, Deborah Chase, and also very much appreciate Forrest Katz's comments. My first thing is on the objective to manage cougars. I'm not going into the English of the statement, but to manage cougars while being trusted to take action to help people feel safe. The objective should be to make people safe. And we have study after study after study that says increased hunting leads to increased conflict. I first started talking to the commission about this in, I think it was 2010 or 2011. By 2015, after the research to regulation was introduced, we in 2015 we hit a new all-time low of complaints, confirmed complaints, and now as our cougar mortalities have gone up every year since, we've seen increasing complaints. So we're going against the science,
And I would claim that science is not informing our decisions. The first box, as I mentioned earlier today, is we're listing two studies that have yet to make it through peer review. We've been unable to get from the department the study on the new cougar density functions. So that's one issue which I've addressed previously, and certainly can send you more information if needed. The second item that's bothersome is that we keep hearing the hound training referred to as a hound pursuit season. And it's not a season. It's not intended to be a open season. It was supposed to be a very selective permitting system of allowing certain hound hunters to go out and to train their dogs. And that has led many people to start believing that since we're now taking hound training, turning it to the terminology of a pursuit season, that we will soon see the pursuit season turned into a hunting season. So I think that's a problem of semantics that the department's helping bring upon itself. My final point is about the public safety cougar removal. There was sort of an agreement that if environmental groups didn't fight overly hard against the hound training, that the public safety cougar removal whack was going to be dropped, because as stated in multiple WDFW publications, the public safety cougar removal program was a bust. It did not work. It was going out and shooting random cougars, sometimes 8-9 months after somebody said, oh, I had a problem, or I saw a lot of cougars. And I would also like to mention that it's pretty well known that if you remove a territorial cat, that two or three younger cats will come to its funeral. So in areas like Northeast Washington, where they're just really killing far more cougars than what the 16% guideline of actual science says is the probable population, we're seeing more cougars. It's not a surprise at all. And we're just continuing to create our own problems. So
Bob, you're at time.
Yes. So thank you for that time. And let's do this right. Thank you.
Okay, Barbara, I'm back. Thank you. I had to take a break for a minute. Does that wrap up comments?
No, we've got two more. We've got Marie Newmiller and Rachel Heyman.
Okay. The last two, please.
Okay, go ahead, Marie.
Thank you, commissioners, for taking time to hear our public testimony on this Saturday. I will keep this as brief as possible. We at the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council have been encouraged by this process and the tremendous efforts being put forward by the commission and the department. Our volunteers stand ready and willing to support these efforts in any way that we can. We do have some concerns over the removal of baiting, which can provide good assistive tool for the hunting experiences of new and disabled hunters. We look forward to participating in this discussion as the program moves forward. We also believe that the use of hounds can be an effective tool in predator deterrence, as seen in the non-lethal wolf recommendations. And we look forward to joining in that conversation as well. Thank you for taking up the subject of safety, and thank you for all the steps that you are taking to research populations and educate the public. Please feel free to contact me at the Wildlife Council should there be any way that our volunteers can assist in this effort. Thank you.
Any questions of Marie? Thank you for your comments again, Marie. Have a good weekend.
Okay, we've got next. our final quick comment. We've got Rachel Heyman. Go ahead, Rachel.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
All right. First, I want to thank everybody for giving me this opportunity to speak with you. I want to tell you that I live in a sort of mixed rural and wildland area near Mount Adams in the northwest part of Clickitat County. And I'm truly alarmed at the rate at which cougars are currently being killed in our county. Other speakers have commented on the fact that the conflict with humans goes up as cougars are killed. And so I'm truly worried about the implications for our actual safety here. A lot of people recreate in the forest in this area. Mm-hmm. And I spend a lot of time out there myself. And I know that the cougars are around us all the time. I have some tracking experience, and I see that they're around us, and they have done a remarkable job of not conflicting with people, even though we are invading their habitat constantly. And this has been true. I've lived here 30 years, and this has been true during a time when there is no hound hunting up here allowed. And so I just want to make the point that we don't need necessarily to intimidate these cougars, but maybe I'd like to move on to a different point. The rate at which they're being killed here is truly alarming this in the past year or so, because you have hunting, which is, mm-hmm. of course, understood, but it's adding to the law enforcement sanctioned hunting down and killing of cougars here. And the rate at which people are joining up to volunteer with their hounds to chase down cougars that merely for the act of being sighted or killing a deer within sight of somebody is led to a tremendous uptick in the total numbers, such that if this habitat here, which according to the science would support an estimated 50 cougars in Clickitat County roughly, we're looking at upwards of a third, maybe nearly a half of them being killed in the last year or so, according to all the information I've been able to obtain about the number of cougars killed either by hunting or by law enforcement. So I'm very concerned about what this means for my safety when I go out into the forest, that there are young cougars moving into this habitat that's being overly hunted, or not just hunted, but overly, where there's too many killings. And I'm concerned for all my neighbors who bike and run and recreate in this forest. So I really hope you'll take seriously what Bob McCoy said about the importance of really focusing on our actual safety, and also getting a better handle on the numbers of cougars being killed. And I heard that you're trying to do that, but it's really important that there be no delay in this. So I really hope that moving forward, we're going to have a better situation here than what we have right now.
You're at time, Rachel.
I just want to thank you again for hearing me out.
Any questions of Rachel? Thank you for your comments, Rachel. You said, Nikki, we have one more?
Yeah, Don has his hand up too. Don, is it in relation to the comments?
I think I didn't see that.
No, my question is, your public comment is over, and we go back for some commissioner feedback on the plan. So I'll hold off.
Molly, did you have a comment or a question?
Commissioner McIsaac, I just wanted for commissioner discussion.
Okay, the next one will be the last one, and then we'll get to that.
Okay, let me see if Ann wants to give comment. Ann, I've unmuted you if you would like to give comment.
Nikki, her symbol still shows.
There, unmuting. We'll try again.
Yep, go ahead, Ann. We got you.
All right. Thank you for providing the opportunity for me to provide public comment today. My name is Ann Presna. I'm an environmental attorney in private practice, and I've worked in the Alaska AG's office, the U.S. EPA Region 10 office as deputy regional counsel, in-house for British Petroleum, and as general counsel for Sea Shepherd.
I also hold a Bachelor of Science degree from Cornell and a Master of Science degree from the University of Wisconsin. I was born in the 1950s and have witnessed the great loss of biodiversity and increased threats from climate change. I'm a Washington resident who values cougars and shares my second home with them in Arizona, where I own a ranch. I am not a hunter, but I'm willing to purchase an annual permit to support wildlife conservation efforts by the department. I'm opposed to increased hunting of cougars. I support Deborah Chase's suggestion that we follow the example of California that banned hunting of cougars about 30 years ago and has more cougars, more people, and far fewer human cougar conflicts in Washington. As Bob McCoy noted, increased killing of cougars creates more conflicts by displacing the resident adult cougar in an era and destabilizing the population, allowing younger transient cats to come into an area and potentially create problems. In my many years of government service, I worked with biologists and other scientists on environmental issues, including fish and game management. My recommendation to them then, as it is now to you, is to follow the best currently available science on sustainable wildlife management practices. My other area of emphasis was on public participation. Allow everyone to have their say and keep the decision-making process open and open-minded rather than cater to the interests of special interest groups. In my view, maintaining a healthy cougar population in Washington is critical to maintaining and improving the state's biodiversity, which in turn is critical to fighting global climate change. Thank you for taking my comments into consideration today and sneaking me in at the end.
Any questions for Ann? Hearing that, Ann, thank you for calling in and your comments. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay, we are now done with public comment on that item. We'll go to Molly and then to Don, please.
I think Don was actually first. Don, go ahead.
I was just trying to be polite, but you guys get it off.
Go ahead. Commissioner Linville, you're a wildlife person. I just have a fishy kind of a perspective on this.
I want to be really transparent in the fact that what I'm about to say is extremely self-serving. So I want to be clear about that. But I kind of like to reach out to both Deborah and Marie. On our ranch, we use livestock guardian dogs to make sure that our livestock is protected from mountain lions, and we have a very robust population. And so we have the dogs, but we still see cougars probably on a monthly basis. So the dogs are not precluding the cats from the ranch, but they are definitely doing a great job. We do not lose any livestock to cougars anymore. So the problem becomes, you know, and I want to point this out because often we heard it in this testimony that, you know, ranchers aren't doing anything to protect their livestock. And I just wanted to point out a challenge around that is that now our problem is conflict between humans and our livestock guardian dogs. For us, it's particularly bicyclists, and we have been threatened that they were going to sue us because our dogs chased people on bicycles. And I don't blame the bicyclists. It would be terrifying. I'm not saying they're in the wrong with that. But they're so good at allowing the cougars to be on the ranch and protecting our livestock that I would love Deborah and Marie to maybe think about. Is there anything we can do to inform people about the role of livestock guardian dogs? Or is there anything we can do to reduce that guard dog human conflict so that we can reduce the human cougar conflict? So I hate to add another layer of complexity to an already complex situation, but the reason a lot of times a rancher is not going to use these guard dogs is because, you know, it's pretty scary to be, you know, if somebody were to threaten, you know, we're one lawsuit away from, you know, being put out of business permanently. And I think that's maybe why you don't see better uptake on using guard dogs around cougars. So just wanted to put that out there. And maybe people didn't even really realize that human guard dog conflict is a thing, but it is.
Thank you, Commissioner Linville. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thanks for the presentation and all the good work from the staff on this. In terms of this being kind of our approach or our plan, I'll offer just a few perspectives because I do get calls from constituents. And if this is going to be our plan, if it was reduced to in writing or put in writing so that we could show it to some people, I think there'd be a lot of utility in that. Mr. McCoy brought up the objective statement. And I would have to agree with him that words like being trusted to help people feel safe, that maybe we could improve on that and try to do something that's a little more, you know, has a metric in there of some sort that has the objective of making things more safe. So I remember Chief Bear had his statistics of how the incidences were climbing, interactions were climbing, or statistics, calls in or numbers of cougars removed for safety reasons, something was climbing. So I would urge people to take a look at that objective statement again and try to make it a little more solidly and measurably linked to people being safe. The timing of all of this, you know, we took some pot. This started with some impressive, I guess, is the word I would say, public testimony in Spokane in 2019. And we went down the hunting route and we learned there that you can't affect safety by hunting, really. So now we're looking at trying to do some more things. These are a lot of good ideas, but the timing of it all is one that when we talk about not getting to opening the game management plan or initiating something on the game management plan or the WAC until 12 months out. Initiating is maybe a word to focus on. I think it's very important that we do take on this, taking a look at the dangerous wildlife policy soon that Commissioner Baker brought up. I fully support that going to the Wildlife Committee to be worked and brought to the full commission if necessary. But I wonder about initiating some of those other two things rather than starting 12 months out, if they could possibly be started sometime earlier than that. And then lastly, this business about resumption of hound hunting or a hound pursuit season. A lot of times a word gets passed on that gets exaggerated, that then gets exaggerated again. And so that has not come before the commission. And I just like to reiterate what was said earlier that at least I am not endorsing any hound pursuit season or the resumption of hound hunting. And if somehow we squelch those rumors that aren't true, that might help the credibility of the whole operation. I would also bring this up. If we do have a written plan that this is how we're going to approach this thing, having the word tribal co-manager in there somewhere, I think would be useful, and having the hound training science or evolving science or something that gets to the science of this new science coming in. Again, if it's nothing more than a double check at the highest level that, oops, we're seeing something that's outside the bounds of what our studies show. We've got a real anomaly going on here or something, just so that there's an open door for some shockwave science to come in. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to follow up on Barbara Baker's comments about the impressive science that we have available to us and the people we have in the department that are highly respected in this arena. And I was glad to see the names of some of those being included on the team that Eric has put together. I think this is going to be really important as we move forward to really justify the actions of the department. As we all know, as commissioners, that oftentimes we are presented with very anecdotal impressions of how we're mismanaging a species. And having this science component as being as strong as it is with the science available to us will be really important as we move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybell. Okay, I guess we'll move this towards closure. Eric, great job. Thanks for your patience. We're running a little bit late, but you did well. I'm sorry you missed a slide, but thanks to you and your colleagues. Yep.